Praise the Lord. Father, thank you that we can come together, Lord, to your word tonight. We ask you, Lord, that your presence, Lord, may be real and, Lord, touch each one of us. Lord, that the truth, Lord, that we are going to be reading in the word, that you're going to try to communicate to us, Lord, that may, Lord, work in our hearts, Lord, and bring about the changes that we need to have. Lord, give us the direction that we need to, Lord, hear. Give us, Lord, the ability to, Lord, grow into commitment and desire, Lord, to connect with you and to receive from you and to be able, Lord, to appropriate the things that you have done for us. Help us, Lord, in this time that is needed, that we cannot do it in our own. Lord, we never could, but now especially becomes so much more important and more evident that your help, your direction, your anointing, your power are essential for us to, Lord, be able to make it through these times. And Lord, as we realize that, Lord, then really make, Lord, the decisions and commitments to, Lord, seek you and your ways, Lord, to understand your ways, to understand, Lord, what is happening around us, that you help us, Lord, to receive knowledge, wisdom, and the power to overcome, not to be affected by the circumstances we are in, but to change and affect our circumstances and the circumstances of others. So we just praise you and thank you in advance, Lord, believing that as we are moving in under your direction, Lord, we are going to see more and more, Lord, of your humanness, Lord, your miraculous working power, working in our lives, Lord, and manifesting in our lives to set us free and to help others to become free. And we praise you and thank you in advance for that. In the mighty name of Jesus, the name is above every name, Lord, that we can, Lord, claim and receive from you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right. Now, one of the things happening is that, you know, the teaching on Sundays and the teaching on Thursdays are kind of connecting with each other in a way. You know, in some way completing each other. And the Lord is impressing me that it's important, okay, to keep our focus in the direction, okay, that is needed, because it's going to be essential for to survive in the coming day. And I mean not just for everybody, but for especially for believers, to be able to stand on what's going on today. If we realize it or not, there is confusion, there is fear, there is chaos really ruling the masses, even Christians. They are just, you know, afraid and confused and scattered. And this is the time when, you know, really they become, you know, easily target of predators, of people that take advantage of their fears, of the enemy, okay? And so we need to, you know, gear ourselves. We need to organize ourselves and have clear in our mind what is going on and the things that we should be doing. Okay, it's not, things are changing. If we like it or not, we just have to look around the world and you say, well, the world has been always problems. Yes, absolutely. But this is not always the same thing that happened before. The things that are happening now are far beyond what will happen before, both at the level of national as well as international. Now things are not anymore on a national level or a personal level. Now things are really all over the place, and the forces in operation are global, not just local. And so we have to understand that, and this is, the battle is escalated, if you want it or not. And we have to learn, and that becomes essential in these days, to listen to the direction of the Holy Spirit. Because as we do that, we are not going to experience things around us like the world does. And but it's going to be different, because the Holy Spirit is going to be with us, empowering us. We're going to see more of that, but this is, it's nothing new. It was actually predicted. There were so many evidences in the Bible. But we have to be careful not to be caught up in what goes on in the physical level. Because that is the way that we are conformed to the world. Because through our senses, okay, they have an impact on the way we think, on the way we respond, and the way we react, the way we feel, and finally, what our heart is able to receive. And we are, our heart has to develop some more in terms of be able to connect with God, so that we are overcoming the circumstances and the situations we're in. See, we should not be affected by the circumstances we are in, but we should affect the circumstances that we are around, to the point that we are working in a dimension that is not the usual, natural dimension, but we work in supernatural power. This was evident at the beginning of the church, but was abandoned very quickly. Just within 100 years, the whole thing was changing. And I think what's happening now, because of the time we are in, we're going to go into the reverse and has to become more and more from the point of view of connecting with the Holy Spirit. But we have to understand the way this is going to happen. If we are influenced by the circumstances in the world around us, by the situations we are in personally, and by, what's happening, then those things are going to have an effect on us that is going to be stronger than the effect that the world has on us. And so we had to counteract that, to be able to become independent of the circumstances. And this is not going to be happening just by itself. There is a part, there is work that we have to do. And this is not the good works that religion says to do. It's really the work that we have to do for us to connect with the Holy Spirit and to listen to the Holy Spirit. Masses are not going to be able to do that. And they're going to be, even believers are going to have real problems in connecting with that, because all the believer structure is being shaken. Okay. We need to really receive revelation from the Holy Spirit, direction and revelation from the Holy Spirit. Okay, to develop ourselves, okay, so that we are not put into the mold or conformed by the world. But, we have to defend ourselves from the influences of the world, okay, through the connection, the fellowship with the Holy Spirit, the direction of the Holy Spirit, the revelation that He gives us, and the power of transformation that comes out, okay? But that is, you know, not without self-discipline and commitment. And not only that, one cannot do it by oneself. We need others to work together. You can, you know, no battles is won by soldiers that are separated. They need to be joined together and help each other to be able to make it. It's, you know, joining faith, joining, you know, spiritual strength, and developing an atmosphere of faith that things are going to be facilitated. Okay. And God is actually working in the building up of what he calls the remnant. And the remnant is not everybody that calls himself believers. And this was predicted in the Old Testament, was reinforced in the New Testament, but evidently with you know, a new connotation. And this is a really, I've seen that this is actually where the Lord is bringing us and wants to, you know, open up our understanding to be able to connect with a reality that is not being around for a long time, that is just new. And that we had to be able to recognize and move in that direction if we want to survive. Actually, just meaning survive, even as believers. Because the pressure is going to be much stronger, but the Holy Spirit is much stronger than the pressures and the other things goes around. Not only that, but, you know, there are many scripture that should encourage us and motivate us to actually move in that direction. You know, starting, you know, just looking at the environment right now and looking at, for example, the book of Luke chapter 21, you know, talking about what was going to happen. This is really what's happening. Already, chapter 21 of the book of Luke, or the gospel, verse 25, says, and there will be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and on the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the water roaring. You know, here it's talking about just the physical environment, both, you know, in the heavens, and on the earth, you know, like you're talking about the moon, the sign in the moon. In the last year, how many, you know, blood moons have been happening? That was the first time it happened for ages. There are many other things, and I'm not going to go into all the detail. But the fact is, this is a combination, an accumulation of all different components that aren't been there before at the same degree of now. Now, you know, the issues, the problem that we are facing are bigger than ever before. And people think that by social engineering, they're going to fix them. And every time the man tries to do social engineering to fix things, they made it worse all the time. Just doesn't work because they cannot figure the parameters. They started, you know, remember, you know, I was bringing that in the 70s. I remember sharing about the Club of Rome, okay, with their predictions. I don't know if you remember that. Maybe that some of you were too young. But, you know, the bottom, you know, I said, was a complete failure. But that was, you know, but that was the beginning of a mentality that was developing and now is continued today. Along this exactly the same line, and all this globalism and all this other stuff are all along those lines that, you know, essentially, you know, an elite group of people try to control the whole world, thinking that they can engineer the way things work. And now, you know, they're trying to, eliminate one third of the population with different means because the world otherwise cannot sustain itself, is unsustainable. This is complete garbage, and the enemy is using them to actually produce the end time cataclysm. Okay. And continuing there, verse 21, verse 26, Luke 21 says, men's heart failing them from fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on earth. For the power of heaven will be shaken. Okay, so, this is what Jesus said. Okay, and if you see around, now everybody, if they don't know the Lord, the people are terrified. They hope, and they talk about hope, but really, it's complete nonsense. They're more confused and more afraid than ever before. And the situation is going to escalate, if we want to accept it or not. Okay? Both in terms of diseases, in terms of world situation, nations fighting against nations, and so on. Okay. But then says, verse 27, then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. So he is coming about, here is not making too many distinctions. It's going to be just a general thing, so it doesn't give enough information. But really, they're saying, that is when Jesus is going to come back. Okay. So, when things like that start happening, okay, we have to know that this is going to be taking place. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Okay. Okay, so, and then it says, verse 28, the way we should take it and look at it. Okay, now then, when these things begin to happen, and I can say that these things starting to happen again already. Okay, it says, look up. And lift up your head, because your redemption draws near. So, he say, don't look at those things. Don't be concerned. Don't let your heart failing, but just look up and lift up your head. That means connect with the source or the things that is going to make the difference. Don't keep looking at the thing, because otherwise you're going to be sucked in with the whole world and your heart is going to be failed and your faith is not going to work. This is the time to get your faith, okay, working in steroid. With the word, not with what people, including Christians, are saying, because the majority of them are going to just look at all the circumstances and the situation and look at the problem and complain about them. Look, complaining doesn't get you anywhere, never got anybody anywhere. The same situation that happens over and over again. And people never progress and make the same mistakes that they made before. And believers are going to make the same mistakes that they did in the past. Just the same as the Israelite, the children of Israel did when they were in the wilderness. They looked at the wilderness. They looked at the problem. They looked at there was no water. They looked at God provided all the time. But they looked at all these things and complained. Oh, how can God do now in this situation? How we are going to have enough water for all ourselves and the animals? Oh, we are not going to have any food to eat. Oh, we complain. Oh, we are going to have manna every day. I mean, when you have got manna, shut up and take it instead of complaining. See, that's the way to get God not to do anything, because your attitude is not that one of receiving. Okay, so we have to understand that we have to look up, not the way the Israelite did, looking at the situation, looking at the, God had provided all the time for them. And so instead of doing what they did, we have to look up, because he has given us the direction already. And yes, now has provided us with the Holy Spirit. If we really have the Holy Spirit, that is our source. That is our helper. Are not the people that are complaining and feeling sorry and trying to change the thing politically. I mean, some Christians trying to change things politically, that is idiotic. They want to get into the worldly system to change the worldly system. As soon as you get into the world, that's not what Jesus did. He refused all the time because you cannot change the worldly system by becoming one of them. The only one is going to change the worldly system is when Jesus comes and blasts them away. That's what it says. So we have to understand that we have been given all the information that we need. And we have to follow the direction that they've given. And the Holy Spirit is going to actually help us to apply this step by step. Step by step for the things that we have to deal with personally. Because it's not going to be, you see, things are going to be different in different places, different things. You know, this business, this the idea, you know, the church is not a universal church. When the Bible talks about the church, it always talks about the local church, because that is the bunch of people together that work together toward the solution of the problem that they are experiencing, not problems that somebody else is experiencing in another area. Are you following what I'm saying? There's not the same thing happening. There are lots of problems. But you are going to be walking through the problems because the Holy Spirit is going to guide you through the things that you had to deal with, but you are focusing on other things. You're going to have far too much in your head to be able to cope with it, and your faith is going to be fading away because you cannot, that's the thing that you look at, you give power. If you look at the situation, if you look at the world messages, if you look at the problem around, you are going to be absorbed, conformed to them, and you are not going to be able to change or to strengthen yourself and to have the power to cope with it. There is no way, because you cannot be focused on the wrong thing and have the right thing happening inside you. The Lord has been very clear about that. That means that we had to be learning to focus, learning to be able to direct our attention in the right way. Okay. Not ignoring what's going on, but, not focusing on that because this is not the solution and this is not what we should be concerned about. What we should be concerned about is to be connected with the Holy Spirit and to know that He is guiding us where we have to be. When we start doing that, then we are not going to experience the same thing that the world is experiencing. We are going to live in strength. We are going to live positively. We are going to live, no matter what's going on. Is not going to touch us because we are protected. Jesus, when he was around the crowd, they were going to try to throw him on the things, down the edge of the, he just walked through them, untouched. That's what he did all the time. That's what God is going to guide us to be able to do, to be untouched unless, we are called for some specific reason to do certain work, and then, He is going to empower us anyway, and so we are not going to have any problem. But He is the one that has to be our strength. And that has to be stronger than what's going on around us. Because it's not just a mental thing. It's not just a philosophical thing. This is a supernatural power that we had to have imparted on us to be able to cope with what's going on. So, and that actually is not new. Okay? we can see the pattern established before. See, God works by pattern. I mean, God's ways of doing it are always the same. And he always also, with us, he also has explained that through the scriptures. So for example, if you go to Romans chapter 9, you have some and that refers and explains what happened in the past. But that's not different to what happened in the future. God works always the same way. Praise the Lord. I've been feeling not that good all day. Until now. I'm getting energy. I've been just dragging myself all day, but not anymore. Yet to get into the anointing. Now, Romans chapter 9, verse 6 says, Romans chapter 9, verse 6 says, but it's not as though the word of God has failed. She was talking about the children of Israel, okay, not be able to get into the promised land, dying in the desert. Okay? And he's explaining here, okay, but it is not as though the word of God has failed. I didn't know I was going to teach this. This is just God. Now, no long ago. For not all who were the descendant from Israel belong to Israel. Not all the ones that are called are going to be able to cope with whatever it is. In this case, you know, to go to the promised land. And not all the children of Abraham, because they have the offspring, his offspring, but through Isaac shall your offspring be named. So you see, it's through Isaac that they were able to receive. Okay, so not just all the children of Abraham, okay? Not all the children, but just because they were coming through Isaac, who was the son of promise. Okay, this means that it's not all the children of the flesh that are in the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted as offsprings. You see, are the children of the promise. See, is the promise of God that has to be received to be able to come into the relationship, supernatural relationship, that give us the victory. Now I'm jumping some verses here. I'm going to verse 26 of the same chapter, chapter 9 of Romans. And it shall come to pass in the place where it was said to them, you are not my people, there they shall be called sons of the living God. So you see, we were not called, you know, this is talking about everybody that are going to be called sons of the living God. I've been talking about the sons of God for the last, well, probably 50 years, but, you know, mostly in the last 10 years. Isaiah also cried out concerning Israel, though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, then says, the remnant will be saved. And it's not going to be as the sand of the sea. It's going to be a remnant. I mean, you know, the one that are operating according to the promise. What it means to be operating according to the promise. See, we've been talking about receiving the promises of God in Sunday morning. And just go through those three messages until they just become, all the scripture, because you become so familiar, because, you know, that's the basis of what I'm talking about. It says, for he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness. So you see, the remnant will be saved, for he will be finished the work. God will be finishing the work and cut it short in righteousness. It's not going to be a long time. It's going to be quick. The transition is going to be making quick, because the Lord will make a short work upon the earth. Now, You know, if you go in Revelation, talks about the fact that God has to shorten down the time because otherwise there, nobody would be surviving. Okay. And this is really, see, the Lord is setting up things and is working out things. And, you know, within the children of Israel, the chosen children, they're going to be the one that are growing in, you know, according to the promise. What does it mean? Okay. First of all, fact it is, the time is accelerating. If you see what's going on in the world, you know, the way things are spreading are going to be faster and faster. Not just earthquakes, for example, you know, a promise that they're going to be becoming more and more. Well, that's not taking place. You know, that the physical, not just the physical part, but the spiritual part is exactly the same. And the way the enemy works is by distraction on the people, you know, making people focused on the things of the flesh, on the physical things, on the circumstances, what everybody else is focusing, instead of connecting to what the God has been doing with them, like the children of Israel ever in the wilderness. The Holy Spirit, instead of listening to the Holy Spirit themselves, they are listening and looking at what happens in the world. If you gotta receive what happened in the world, you're going to be caught up by that, and that's the way it's going to be an effect on you, because what you look at, you give power. Okay? Now, so this is the time to redeem. That is really, we need to redeem the time, to use the time we have to work toward what God is doing and participating what God is doing. A new thing is accelerating the time, and is you know, and we have to tune in on what he's doing and pay attention instead of paying attention to the physical thing around us. See, but it says before, the remnant, okay, will be saved. I will be saved. We know I will be saved. The same remnant is saved like everything else by only one thing. Anybody can say, how are they going to be saved? You had it then?
Faith?
Yeah.
By faith?
That's right. So you see, that's the key. That is the key. We had to, you know, get our faith working. We had to use whatever we can to develop our faith so that we can start manifesting the power of God supernaturally in our life. That's the only way God does anything. But we had to get to a place of becoming major in that area so that, you know, we actually are operating like Jesus did. They were, so the same work that he did, you shall do also, and greater work that I do, you shall do, because I go to my Father, send you the Holy Spirit, and so, you know, and whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. See, this is the thing we have to start seeing happening from before. As the time gets, there has to be, we have to be accelerating in that process. And that process doesn't happen. It is not accelerated by simply the, you know, the hope or the prayer. There is, you know, a change that has to take place in us so that our faith level is increasing and is operating at a greater extent. Not being satisfied with the level of faith that we have, but to be greedy for more faith, because this is what God wants us to do, and we do that by simply, you know, receiving the promises, that the promises are our training ground. See, of the people going through the wilderness, the one that held on by faith got into the promised land, the other one stayed out, and that was a small remnant, and you know, and the new the new people coming in, because possibly they weren't influenced as much by the mentality of the old one. So, by faith. So what we had to do, okay, how we get our faith strong? Simply by renewing our mind. We had to renew our mind. And as we said before, okay, that's not just Bible study. There are different things involved. Okay, it's not just theology. Theology has not the power to save anybody. Is the interaction with the Holy Spirit. Is starting by offering our body a living sacrifice, Romans 12, 1 and 1. Okay. And then you renew your mind, which involves your thoughts, your intellect, your will, your emotions, your feeling, your desires, your attitude. And when you start working on that, your beliefs, that means, you know, your heart, because that's where the power is going to come from. Okay. So we have to really, you know, dealing with these inner changes one at a time, dealing with your thoughts, making sure that your thought is in the right direction, your thinking, your will is in the right direction, your emotions correspond to the emotion that the Bible says, your attitude are corresponding. And with that, you know, then you reach out to when all these elements are lined up together. And because you have worked on them internally for yourself, not the external part, it's the inside of you that needs to be worked. Okay? But you have to put that as a priority over the physical priorities, over the needs that are physical, over, you know, you have to put your attention. This is the way the enemy works. Okay? The enemy works by attracting your attention. Okay. That what conforms you. You are conformed by the environment you are in. If you are exposed to that by osmosis, by the world, by the things, you end up operating the way they do. You know, we want to see a supernatural change that comes when the alignment takes place. You know, all those elements I said, thought and intellect, emotions, feeling and desire, attitude, beliefs. Okay, are like, you know, in a lock, there are all these different pins. When the pins and the key are the same thing, then you can open the door. And so the idea is when all these things are lined up with the way God sees them and God wants them to end, then you're going to automatically be changed and the door is open. Okay. Or you have to set your will, okay, establish your desires, you know, feel new emotions, okay, until your beliefs are established and your heart is changed. When that happens, the results are there. You're not affected anymore by the things around. And you are saved, not because of you do anything, it's because the faith, the belief are there. And you are not moved. And you know what the perfect God, will of God is. The victory that you have is very easy to try to implement what Paul said in a religious, legalistic way. Because when, for example, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22 said, put off concerning the former conduct, the old man, which grew corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, okay, grow corrupt, you know, it's just a progression because these things happen because of the exposure you are there. You know, you are conformed continuously about these things. Okay. So, you know, it's a progression into evil. You can see that in the world today. The world becoming more and more evil. See the legislation, for example, concerning, you know, euthanasia, now that is here, is completely crazy. Okay. Well, that's exactly what takes place. The world is being corrupted and the value of life is decreasing. Before they were just killing, you know, aborting people when they were in the womb. Now they are aborting even after, in some cases. And now, you know, there is a, they are killing people just because they make a new law that allows them to do so. This is insane. Okay, this is exactly the progression that, you know, I'm talking about. You know, we had to deal with, you know, the deceitful lust. You see, putting off the new man, the old man, doesn't mean to try to overcome the works of the flesh. It starts to do with the working off the stuff inside us. I mean, the deceitful lust, you know, the thought that are wrong, the desire. You see, this is the stuff that has to be worked out. It's the inner work that needs to be taking place, not behavior modification. It's that work that makes a difference, is going to make a difference, is going to empower you to have a new life and a renewed, you know, says there, you know, that may be that verse, Ephesians 4:22, you know, put off concerning the former conduct, the old man which grew according to the deceitful lust. So it's the deceitful lust, the key things that you have to do. Okay. And be renewed in what? The spirit of your mind. The spirit of your mind is exactly your heart. It's the place of contact between your spirit and your mind. Okay, so renewing, this is what, you know, the renewing, the removing of the old man is thing, aligning the thinking, emotions, last will, and heart with God's word. Okay, so the God's word is going to bring to us those things that are in disagreement with what God says in his word. But we have to be attentive, aware of what's going on inside us. This is why, you know, our consciousness or awareness of what's going on inside ourselves, that means conscious living, has to be, you know, the way we operate, so that we don't go by just our feelings. Okay? And, but we go by the things behind our feelings, our thoughts, our will, our emotions, our lust, our desire, whatever. Okay. And then goes down to the level of the heart. That's where the change is going to take place. So, and then what you do is you put on the new man. Okay. What you do, you put on the new man. You don't do, I'm starting to do new things. No, you know, the new man, which is created according to God, is not created by you. It's not that you change your behavior. It's that your behavior changes because God has done the work. It's created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. So it lines up with him because all the things inside you have been modified and changed. And now you are lining up with God's ideas and will and belief system is in full agreement with what you should believe. Your faith, belief system is your faith. You have the faith to do the things that God says you should be doing. You should be able to do. It's not work. It's not out of your own effort. It's not out of your own changing behavior. It's that your behavior is changed because you have changed. That's also in 2 Corinthians 5:17 and following says the same thing. Okay, so it's not by following the law. Following the law, obeying all the different commandments, is impossible to be successful because it didn't work in the Old Testament, and Jesus had to come to die so that we could do it, because we are starting to operate in the spiritual dimension and not in the physical dimension. Okay. So if our lust remain the old side things, if then, you know, like in the Old Testament, the works are going to be the same. Okay. It's the spirit of your mind, I mean, it's your heart, has to be changed, and that empower or creates a new personality in you that is going to be the personality that God wants to, you know, you're going to do the right thing without any effort, because it's really God's power and God's anointing manifested in you. Okay. So awareness, dealing with all those levels is critical. Okay. That means, implies two things. Okay. Awareness involves, you know, fellowship with the Holy Spirit. But fellowship means, you know, that you are actually working on that. You are sharing time. We are spending time with Him. You are connecting with Him. You are meditating on the Word. Meditation and fellowship with the Holy Spirit brings unity between your spirit and God's spirit. Fellowship or unity is the same thing. Now, when we operate that way individually, and we all work in the same direction, then the whole thing is actually spread and becomes more than one person walking in the flesh, in the spirit or the flesh, is the whole place, the whole atmosphere is built up with more people operating at that level, operating in that form, in that way. Now, this has to be, you know, something that we learn to do. It's a work. It's, you know, it's a focusing, it's an attention, okay, that has to take place. Without that, without that realization, we are not going to be successful in the environment in which our attention is being going to be pulled on the problems that we are experiencing. See, when we start operating that way, the problems fade away because the power of God, the presence of God, the Holy Spirit becomes more real than the problems we have. And unless we make a decision, a conscious decision, a conscious commitment to work that way and become conscious of what's going on inside us more than the things around us, we're not going to be successful in that. See, so that is a decision that we have to come to and we have to make. You know, I give you an example. Okay. When people come to the Lord, don't come to the Lord because they have been exposed to a doctrine, or because they have been exposed to a theology. They come to the Lord because they have acquired a realization that there is something sick with the world. They are, you know, the people that really have a significant salvation experience are the people that have been turned off from the world. Otherwise, the only thing they become is religious. Because they're, you know, even if they go along because they philosophically think that, you know, makes sense or whatever, there is no actual, the change isn't there. You can see they're not born again. They simply embrace their religion. Because the process I described before, the alignment of the thinking and the process that they, you know, dealt with their will, their thought, their emotions, their thinking, their the way they perceive the world, everything else. Are going to be bound by those ideas. Yeah, they don't see the need for salvation because they already got what they want. And they don't want the same thing that God wants. There has to be a frustration, a disappointment with the status of the world. And they may seek for something beyond that. That's how I got in. Wasn't because somebody preached or presented message. You know, I've been exposed to religion all my life and left it. I was just got to the place in which the world wasn't what I wanted. I wanted the truth. And without anybody preaching to me, I got saved. And God presented himself to me. And I didn't have everything in my mind. You know, it took me some time to get the understanding. And even now, I'm growing in understanding. But I can see that more and more what took place then. I couldn't figure out how, you know, why did I ever get saved? Somebody must have been praying for me, I would say. Well, I don't know anybody in my family that was saved from my point of view. Okay. So, evidently, you know, well, that's the only thing I can say at the moment, but now I understand very well how I got what I got because I really didn't believe in any of the things that I believed before. And I saw how sick the world was, which I put trust myself in before. If we are still thinking the world is worthy to be connected with, there is something that we have to give up to be free.
Maurizio, can you repeat that last sentence, please?
If we think that the world is something that we want to be connected with, okay. There are things that we have to give up in our belief system.
Okay, thank you. Very good.
See, you cannot mix the world with the Lord. They are on two different, complete different spaces. And, you know, when I was in science, I was looking for the truth. And I found out that there was no truth there and there was no truth anywhere because that was, from my point of view, the only place you could find the truth. The very moment, the same day in which I met God. I said, I was looking for the truth. I was looking in the wrong place. Now I find it. I didn't have the whole thing. I started to see it. And I see it more and more. I couldn't put more in word what I could say now, then. It took me a long time. And, you know, religions try to creep in all the time. Because that's the natural man not giving up inside until you're down here. But this is the things that we do, renewing all our mind by learning the process, okay? Sometimes by trial and error, by making mistakes, I see, you know, going the wrong direction and recognizing, okay, we have to go back here and go back there. And, you know, and that's fine. That's the way it is. Fortunately, you know, there are some people that have experience and can help us. I didn't find too many, but there were some. So, you know, Paul said something that was really interesting. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2. says, for I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. You see, it's a determination of no compromise, no wavering in unbelief. Okay. This is not achieved by human will, but by spiritual power that we receive when we receive the Holy Spirit. You know, and you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. You know, and we made up the religious thing, but instead, you know, we started the fact, you know, that we are going to be witness of what we have experienced. Okay. Essentially, you have to be born of God, first of all, and then filled with the Holy Spirit to start be able to be in operation in that dimension. And continues there. I was not with you in weakness. And I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. You know, that is ridiculous. Paul was not somebody that was weak and fearful. He was the opposite. So he's not talking about the fact that he was fearful or shy about what he was going to do. He knew that the only way that he could get anywhere is to be connected with God, and that was the weakness and the fear that he, you know, was not his strength. The fear was not to be able to be connected with him and to the degree that was needed. See, he needed the courage, okay, to face his comfort zone, the established pattern, and to face the truth. And this is what's needed. Christianity is not something for weaklings. If we want to be where God wants us to be in these days, not our ability, but awareness, you know, that God is the only way for us to succeed. And then goes on saying that my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive word of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith, verse 5, should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Well, that is where we are at today. No human logic, our wisdom, our religious idea, our approaches, our theology is demonstration of the power of God. It has to be demonstrated, okay, what we are talking is truth and not just words. Now, okay, I think we talked about lots of stuff tonight. And this connects very much with some of the things I'm preaching on Sunday morning. And I'm going to continue to preach next Sunday. And put us in the right frame of mind to consider the environment we are in and what we should be doing, where attention should be put, what our position should be, what we should expect. See, the last thing, you know, we had to come to the place where we, you know, are in weakness and fear, realizing we can do it ourselves, but in God, we can do everything, and that's the only thing that counts. Okay, and with that, I think I'm going to close for tonight. Any questions? Yep. Penny, you had lifted your hand? Oh, no? Okay. Sorry. Right. You understand what I'm saying? Hello? Yes? Who's that?
Yeah, Pastor, I think what you were saying tonight is effectively, we need to hear for sure, because the thing that goes is still I've got to leave because, you know, the quotes political part of me, like so many of us, comes up with this argument that we hear often, that we need to know what's going on in order to be able to handle things. And you see, you've effectively put forward, and I know this is true because I'm in the Word all the time here, but there's still that part of me that says I need to know what's going on in the world. And you've effectively said we have to leave it, otherwise we're not going to know. You know, the Word says the Lord will say, you're none of His if you're not in His Spirit. I know that. I say it often. And yet, if I'm still in the political or the worldly situations, I cannot, and you've said it already effectively, using the Word, I cannot be in the God solution.
Yep. The typical example is, taking this on a more personal level. Okay. Mm. If you are sick and you are in pain, until you are focused on the pain,
exactly,
you're going to get healed.
Yeah.
When you forget about the pain and you are focused on the Lord, only on the Lord, then you realize the pain isn't there anymore.
Right.
That's the parallel for on a personal level of looking at what happens around us and being trying to deal with that, when instead Jesus said, look up.
Your redemption last night.
That's right. Look up. Don't look down. Don't, because that there is no solution. Okay? And when we forget about that and we hear what the Word says, yeah. I remember I was going to a convention in London, Ontario. Okay. I was driving, it was night, was late for the meeting, and we got out of the wrong exit of, the Queensway that was going there. And, I didn't know what to do. I didn't know where I was going. And I was just driving. I didn't have, those days, we didn't have a GPS. So I was just going around, not knowing anything. And I finally got to a traffic light. I had to stop, was red. Time was already past the time that the meeting would start. It was coming from Ottawa. And there was, I put my head on the wheel and I said, I can do it. I just not getting anywhere. I'm not going to get there. And the Lord spoke to me and said, don't look down, look up. And I did forget about the whole thing. I looked up. The place was in front of me. I mean, just in front of me. I just had to drive. When the traffic became, the traffic became green, I just drove into the parking place. I was completely crazy. I mean, it was just unbelievable. And I was late. And because it was late, the whole place was filled up. So we got in I got seat in the first row.
My goodness. That's wonderful. Praise the Lord.
So it's all of him.
Yeah.
Spirit.
Nothing on the world.
Or there's nothing.
Not, that's right. Everything, you know, that we may, the demonstration of the Spirit and power. I refuse, you know, what it says here, determined to know nothing but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. It's what He did. It's His job. His job, He said, it is finished. It's finished. And for me, it's finished. And I had, the only thing I had to do is to follow the Holy Spirit, and He's going to fulfill the stuff. And if I can hold on to there, that I cannot hold on with my mind and with my will, but with, if I'm connected with the Holy Spirit, He's going to help me to be there.
Amen.
And synonymously, the smallest of sin, he says, is equivalent to the greatest of sin.
Yeah.
Same, exactly. Similar, synonymous.
Yeah. Because it's a separation.
Yes.
Okay. We kind of make a value or whatever, but you know, really the in fact is that there is, you know, what is going on in your heart is that judgment, that decision, the position of your heart, and needs to be changed. When that is changed, you are a new creature. God can work through. So I really think, you know, the attitude of Paul is a very good example for us today. Because that is what's going to be needed more and more for us to overcome the circumstances. They were going against every odd that you can think of those days. Persecuted in every way or form. Okay. And he managed to do so much. Okay. The problem he had mostly were with the Jews, more than anybody else. Because he was, you know, really wanting to minister to the Jews, because he felt, you know, I don't know, obliged or whatever. But the point is, he said it too, but the thing is that the idea is that he just understood the principle, and so he was so effective in what he was doing, because ended up not operating at all, not looking at the circumstances, doing the impossible, because that's what he was doing. You know, essentially, you know, he was just by himself, maybe with another guy, and going and changing the world.
Well, when you were talking, I was thinking about Joseph, who was all in throughout persecution, 13 years in jail, all in spirit. Yep. Answering the dream, and still arrived in the palace, leaving in the palace.
Yeah.
So from the age of 17, through everything, every adversity was thrown at him, and God said, even in those situations, he is prosperous.
Yeah, and he did.
Yeah,
all the time, because he held on to his belief, to his faith. You see,
same thing.
Saved, the remnant is saved by faith. So we had to realize that our faith is the most important thing, because this is the way that what connects us with God. We cannot please in any other way. It's not by being legalistic. It's not by changing our behavior. It's not. No, we have to change the heart. And that means we have to change our belief system. Mm-hmm. And to do that, that is where the renewal of the mind comes. It's not just Bible study. It's the work of conscious living in which we realize what's going on in our thinking and we change our thinking. You know, we realize that our emotion in the wrong way doesn't line up. God said does not, you shouldn't want that. So, you know, we start working on that and we start accepting some adjustment and we, you know, make those adjustments at the spiritual level.
Yeah. Not so good.
Yeah.
Pastor?
Yes, Mary.
Just continue to grow. Like, so a lot of what you're talking about too, and it just a way God is leading me now. I know I have to keep on, you know, with the right guidance and stuff, but so much of this also, like when you're talking about these in the Bible and stuff, like even when we're putting our faith in the blood of Christ, like there is these, they're very supernatural,
yeah,
transformative things. Like even in the state where he's saying, be still so that you can really know, like, I will come to you. I will appear to you. I will guide you. I will do this. Like, depend on me. This is a supernatural transforming real thing of God who will bring you into a place that's not this world around you, the way it's constructed.
Not the world ways. You know, it's not,
right, like
it's not even what we do. It's a way to just, right, you know, obedience is just a question of being receptive, connecting, you know, coming in unity with the Holy Spirit and forgetting about the physical.
Yeah, and he'll pour, like he will, and he does, like start to pour his type, amen, of love in you, his type
his,
of...
His power, holiness, his love, his understanding, his wisdom, his everything that we need, you know, yeah, and he'll bring us into things to come. You know, the next step, not just something far away, just, you know, otherwise we don't know where to start. He's the one that got us into the next step. Because that's the only thing we can do. But he knows what that is, and he's, you know, he knows everything. He knows where we are at, and he knows what the step we can take. Otherwise, we can try to do the right thing, but maybe at the wrong time.
That makes sense again, yeah. Like, and he says, like, instead of confusion, I will bring you clarity. I will guide you in the way you should go, and transform your heart and cleanse you and all these different things. So even the concept, okay, like, I know I sin. I'm not at the glory of God, but God who's in me is the glory of God, is the holiness that's at work in me. Like, not sin is not the power working in me. That's like, right, sometimes when I'm thinking that can connect more to that than a disconnect. Like, how can I possibly, you know, the sanctifying. So anyway, again, thank you.
He's the sanctifier, is the one that changes us. Is the one that says we are a new creation. You know, the new man is created. It's not, you know, it's not that we put it there. It's created by God in us. Because we have allowed him to actually do it. Okay? And so we work with him into this establishing this new reality in us. And so he can manifest himself.
Amen. Thank power. You.
Praise the Lord.
So, Pastor, you talked about the renewal of the mind. So that's always in conjunction with God. But the renewal of the mind is a way to train our mind to overcome pain.
It's not trained. It's not training. It's not behavioral modification. It's the being exposed to, you know, the word.
Okay.
It starts speaking to us.
Okay.
Concerning patterns and thinking and feelings and emotions and attitude and so on, and say, well, this is not what the word says. You know, so embracing the truth rather than embracing the whole thing. And so we just let go of those, the little piece there and a little piece in the other place. And when we embrace those new things, you know, they build up and they join together to produce, you know, a transformation at the judgment level. So actually it's the God speaking to us about the patterns that are inside us in any form that are really need to be changed, and showing us how those patterns are established by inner things, not external thing. You know, those inner things that need to be changed. So the inner man has to be changed, not the other man.
Yeah, but it's good to start with understanding some scriptures. You have to know some scripture. You have to base.
Oh, yeah. I mean, without the scripture, you know, he has very little. You don't cannot know when you get something that is according to God's way or not. So, yes, you the scriptures are the starting point. If you know not scriptures, he can do very little. He can still do things, but he can do much less than when you know the scripture, because the scriptures is what the way he thinks.
Right. Okay. Yeah. I'm just trying to want to put.
But it's not a mental thing. That's the thing.
Okay.
It's the inner man with all this aspect. It's not just logic. It's not just things. It's just the way the Holy Spirit works in us. Holy Spirit of us fellow. We had to have fellowship. This is talking about the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Okay. So we had fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Communion with the Holy Spirit, communion with God. In that communion, with the things that are off, they're going to become evident. And when they're becoming evident, then we have the choice to embrace them or not. Right. And that decision, you see, faith is a decision. I've been saying that for, you know, I don't know, probably 30 years. You know, faith is a decision, but it's a decision that takes place when God speaks to us and shows us some of the things that need to be changed. And we decide, yes, I take this change. I want to, you know, do that. He says, you know, stop, you know, thinking that way starts. Stop feeling that way. Stop acting that way. And you start embracing all those things. And then your heart is lined up with God.
Yeah, it may be very small, but sometimes I feel like I hear something inside me saying, don't go by those feelings. And it's true, because those feelings are garbage. They're not true. It's a devil who wants to put me down because he comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I don't know how many times I have repeated myself that lecture to try to convince myself to cut off. Okay. Right now I'm enduring the itching pain, but it's not a big deal. It's I can get over that. It's just, I don't worry about things like that. You know, we all have pain to some degree. I do, and it's not a big deal. I'm still alive.
But there comes the time when you know we have the faith to speak to the pain, and the pain goes.
Oh yeah, I know.
Instantaneously, because we had the faith. Because we had the faith to believe and to receive. And this is true for all the other things. When we are at the place in which our faith is operating in one area, because, you know, each area is different, then in that area, we are going to be able to speak the thing and it's coming to pass. You know, what things are we desire when you pray, believe that you receive and you shall have them. So, you know, you speak to the mountain and the mountain is moved. Whatever the mountain is moved because your faith is there, because you believe in your heart and do not doubt it. Okay, but the point is, you cannot believe in your heart if the heart isn't prepared. It's done. So this is what I'm talking about now, is preparing the heart for the coming of the Lord Jesus, so that when he comes, we are ready to go.
Yeah, make sure that this lecture is put up so we can listen to it again, because it's...
I'm saying the same thing practically on Sunday, and the last three I've been saying this for the last long time. But this is becoming deeper and deeper, clearer and clearer.
Right. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you. That's good.
You're welcome. Okay. Anybody else? Any other? Questions? Is it clear? Okay. Well, it is more on Sunday, so I'm going to, as I said, you know, this is starting to overlap with Sunday, because I'm explaining for different, with different scripture, with different things, but the same, see, this is the central idea in the whole Bible. The promise to Abraham's children is the promise of Israel receiving the promises of God, receiving God's promise, which is really to, you know, have faith to receive the promise. And have faith to receive the promises, evidently, is not always there. So we want to develop our faith, not to, you know, live in a worldly way. Because if you are worldly, then you try to develop your faith to get worldly things. But if you are with the Lord, you're going to try to receive the promise of God to be able to do things in spiritually and to work for the kingdom.
Pastor Mauricio.
Pastor Mauricio, what yes. You're saying that,
okay. I want to ask you something. Like everything that's happening today, the enemy, okay?
Yeah.
But God is accelerating the time.
Pardon me? God?
Accelerating the time. That means God is, you know, that's the time of God. Like, how can I explain that? It's...
He's accelerating the times, Maurizio, is what Nicola is saying.
God is accelerating the time, so that, you know, that means that accelerating the time for who? Okay, he's evidently not accelerating the time for the enemy. No. The enemy is accelerating himself. He's accelerating the time for us.
Yeah.
Okay, he's opening up his... gifts and his teaching and the Holy Spirit operation for the people that are open, because you know, he wants them to get ready for what's happening, and to be able to deal with the world and to deal with the enemy. Okay, we are in the period of grace.
Yeah.
Okay, God is trying to help us, and is limiting the enemy to a certain degree, or to the degree that he can limit the enemy to do the things. And he, you know, God is completely legalistic, cannot do anything against the law.
No.
Okay, so he is limited by the truth. And since people do the wrong thing, he cannot stop the enemy from doing the damage he's doing.
That's what I want to know.
Okay, but his people are protected. And he tries to help his people as much as possible. And one way to help the people is by what? The helper. That's why he gave us the helper, so that we can deal with the enemy. They cannot, you know, he's revealing to us things. He's showing to us things. He shows us to do. He's doing, you know, so he's there helping us to get the job done. Yeah. Because he chose to work through us. Because he has a plan for us. It's a plan, a hope, and a future.
So, but what I want, like, everything's happening today. I mean, God is in control.
Yes, completely.
Yeah.
Completely. God is in complete control of everything.
Yeah.
Okay? But according to law that are fair and just. Okay, so he has to operate in justice, not just, ignoring what's going on, ignoring the wrong thing or whatever. He has to do the things that are right. And so, you know, when we understand that, then we end up operating in weakness and fear, knowing that, you know, we have to be connected. If we are not connected, we are on our own. We don't want to be unprotected.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Pastor,
can we pray for that situation, for the Lord to like to stop those things? And
you see, God has given man free will, and He is not going to interfere with that ever.
Okay.
He's going to give us opportunity, or give people opportunities to respond And on their respond, he's going to respond to them. He's going to help them. He's going to do. You see, the election, I didn't get there, but actually, I think I'm going to write a document explaining this and the vision for the time and give it around, give it so everyone understand, you know, the period of grace, understands the way God works, the evil that goes spreading, and the way, but the justice of God in all the whole new what taking place, and the love of God, the way it's taking place. But, you know, God operates according to justice, cannot do, you know, is not a discerner, you know, that cannot have preferences, has to deal with everybody the same. And it from time does as much as he can to help us. Okay, so once we understand that, you know, we understand how much we are dependent on him and how much important is us to keep that relationship with him, because that is what really where we get all the blessings. It's not to get the blessing, it's to really not be taken away by the enemy, not taking advantage and everything else. And it's not easy, because the enemy is a deceiver and know what he's doing, and he has lots of experience. Yeah. But we are the Holy Spirit. So that's why we have to learn to connect with the Holy Spirit. This is why in the last 100 years, there's been more understanding about Christianity in all the years before. Because the Holy Spirit has been around, you know, bringing revelation to people. Now, some people get revelation and then mess it up because they get confused and everything else. But that doesn't matter. There's been a new revelation more than ever before.
Amen.
And in these last days, the thing is increasing enormously.
Thank you, Pastor.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Penny, you had something?
No, I was just, the thought I have in my mind, Maurizio, is rather than, although I'm aware of what's going on in the world and the terrible things that are happening, my focus is on God and not on what's happening in the world.
Yeah.
And as you were teaching tonight, I realized that, okay, stop looking at the stuff that's going down in the world because it ain't pretty, and just get closer to God and get allow the Holy Spirit to change me within, and that's all that matters, really.
Yeah. The thing is, you see, the fact that, you know, is like, is the same thing as how much of your thoughts are taken by the things that are happening in the world, and how much are taken by what God is going to do.
Yeah.
Okay. How much attention you give to that, and how much attention you give to the other. Because where you put your attention, you give power.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. So where your focus is, you give power, because the power that is there, the effect that is there is working on you. Okay. So that's what you want to cut off as much as possible, those negative conforming ideas that are going to be making you operate according to the world. And you want to focus as much as possible on, you know, set your mind on things above, not on things below.
Now,
the fact that you see that what's going on, fine. But just because it's there, you need to be keeping it in your mind. Once you saw it, just leave it there. Realize that, and you say, you know, but focus on the right thing.
Amen. And that's because
that in your mind.
Needs. What we see happening in the world is upsetting.
Yeah,
it's upsetting when we see what's going on in the world. It's not good.
No, so we get to the place in which you are not upset for ourselves because we know, you know, we can realize that, oh, it's too bad for these people and maybe too bad for some other people that we know. But, you know, the important thing is that the only thing we can affect that is for us keeping ourselves clean, keeping ourselves unaffected, because then we become agent of change instead of agent, you know, we can help others instead of being pulled back down by others on their place and their level.
Okay. Yeah. Amen. Thank you, Mauricio.
You're welcome. Well, it's not easy. I'm not saying it's easy. This is why, you know, we have to get organized. And this is really the thing I'm going to want to stress in the future, in the last little while, next little while, really to how we set ourselves up for that.
Amen. Okay. Thank you.
All right. Well,
Pastor, just quickly one question. Just in when he's talking about, like, it does seem that I mean, God's own prayer, right? That we will be brought to a unity and the love of the Father be in us and us be with him and where he, like, then the world will come to a different, now I don't pretend to at all be in a place, but there's sound like that, and the hearts really be turned to the Father to really know him, not by what they've people have seen in the church system or in the world system, but there's going to be some place that will happen and cause a change that's different, that is going, it's not going to be like just a tiny, tiny amount of people who can just barely hold on or get to the right place. Like God, it's in that barely, way, that kind of justice.
Yeah, yeah, it's not barely hold on. Is that, you know, there's going to be, the thing is there's going to be an influence on the world, people that realize that that's not the way to go, and they go and they seek God, they're going to be able to receive. They're going to open up. Okay. So there are going to be many that are coming in because of that, but they're coming in because there are those people that are operating that Paul did.
That makes sense.
Demonstrating the power, and they say, okay, well, that's real. I don't forget about the religion that I've been listening out for 2,000 years. This is a different thing.
Right. And even if it's like they could see the power, because there's been a lot like raising from the dead, but it'll be the power that's affecting the heart, like our heart, like we're the changed creation
So that their faith is not based on the reasoning of man, but on the power of God.
Okay, that makes sense. Thank you. Thank you again.
You can see how that applies so much better today than applied maybe 100 years ago. Okay. I think we should close in prayer. Praise the Lord. I don't know what voice anymore. I think maybe. Mark, you like to close in prayer, please?
Yes, Pastor. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your very presence in each of our homes tonight. The power of your Spirit has entered in through the message and the receiving of the message. That your very heart of your Spirit is transforming us and speaking to our hearts in a mighty way. And we're just grateful for that. Each and every one of us I see is grateful for the receiving and the understanding and the power of your word and the power of your connection. And, all that's happening is developing in a mighty way, exceedingly and abundantly above all we can ever ask or imagine.
Amen.
According to your power that is working in us, Ephesians 3:20. And Father, we just are grateful. We have to praise your name. We have to praise your name. Every one of us is, each one of us in the heart is praising your name. For we are in a mighty place here. a mighty place planned by you, Holy Spirit, that we're here at this place and this time with our pastor, receiving, believing, growing, planning according to your plan. There is nothing that you cannot do in our lives. You've planted. We're joining it. We're connecting with it according to your will. It shall be done in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Pastor, for this beautiful teaching.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you. Just praise the Lord. Thank you,
Pastor. Yeah. Thank you, Maurizio. We'll see you on Sunday.
Yes.
Nice, everybody.